Sex in the City, Candace Bushnell, the creator, now takes a look at the 50-plus generation. Is there still sex in the city? You are going to be surprised. Join my podcast, Let Me Tell You, part of the OG Podcast Network, now. Welcome to my world. We should actually call our podcast, Let Me Tell You, part of the OG Podcast Network, Jones Beach, because this time I spend a lot of my available time, which isn't a lot of time, but on the east end of Long Island. And like all the rest of the people who drive out there, we moan and groan about traffic. It's so boring. But that's how we bore each other. When you go to parties, what do we talk about? The traffic. How long did it take you to get here? It's crazy. But once you're there, it's beautiful. There's ocean. There's bay. There are still farms everywhere. It's gorgeous. I have a pair of swans that live on the end of my property. We're on the mouth of a lovely pond, a 22-acre pond, and those swans have made this their home for years. Whenever they're in town, they go to the bottom of our dock, and they don't like you to come near them. You know, swans, you can't go and say, what a cute thing, and give them a little scratch, because they will go get you. Anyway, it was packed. The Hamptons have never, ever been more crowded. But we still managed. One night, we all went out to Amen Restaurant, a very popular restaurant on Ocean Road in Bridgehampton. The noise level there is deafening. But we sat outside, and it's still, despite the traffic on Montauk Highway and the noise coming through the open windows, it's still a great place to be. With it's welcoming, it's warm. We've been going there since Eric, one of the owners, established it. He's a great guy, and he's going to make you feel like you're part of the extended Hampton family. It's really, really good. And, you know, the food is a big deal out there, and the food is quite fabulous, whether it's fish from the seafood shop in Waynescott, whether it's the homemade cinnamon bread only available on Saturdays, and if you don't get there by 9, you're not going to get one, loaves and fishes on Main Street, or Round Swamp Farm, which has 3 locations, 3 Mile Harbor Road in East Hampton, School Street in Bridgehampton, and now Elmwood Avenue in Montauk. Their food, I'm not a big takeout food person, but I have to tell you, their food is quite fabulous. And if you want blueberry muffins, that when you bite into them, there's so much blueberry that, watch your clothes, you can barely see the dough. It's so crammed with fruit. Spectacular. And my favorite, I always love Linzer Torts. You know, the crumbly, delicious cake cookie with raspberry preserves in the middle. Well, they have something called Lisa's Raspberry Almond Cookies that are just delicious. And by the way, this year, if you haven't had it yet, the corn is spectacular, really spectacular. My daughter made a corn salad that was so good with my tomatoes, not big ones. I have little ones, but I have a lot of them, and a delicious dressing on it, and tarragon. It was just spectacular. And we go to Pike's Farm on Sag Main Street in Sagaponack, get a lot of stuff there. And there are the farm stands everywhere that you're going to love. I'll tell you more about those. But I even got in a few holes of golf. I played in Noyac. I went to a popular party that is given every year, charades and a barbecue. And at this party, Mr. Baldwin, Alec Baldwin, walked in looking. I'm telling you, that wife of his whipped this guy in shape. Fit and tan, looking really sort of like a movie star. He looked great. always happy to see him. And we'll try to get him to come to one of our remote shows. So, no. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you had a chance to visit us at our remote show, but we are going to be doing these on a more frequent basis. So we'll all get together. Oh, and you want to know? Pot pies? I'm a pot pie fan. Now, there are pot pies. Everyone's got them. Even Harry and David, the catalog, have a pot pie that's quite good. But no one makes a pot pie like Jonathan Spellman. His mom used to run the Sag store in its heyday, and people would line up for hours to get brown sugar glazed meatloaf and honey hams, fresh turkeys and pot pies, and just incredible food. Jonathan, with his mother's recipes, makes a lot of her great stuff, including the best poached chicken vegetable pot pie you ever tasted. And you try it, and then you tell me. You can order them from Jonathan, but if you're out on the East End, you can figure it out. Every now and then, he makes deliveries in New York. And every time anyone comes to my house, you know, I usually say, do you have any food preferences? Is there something you can't eat? Everyone says, we want a Spellman pot pie. 631-276-4342. It's really good. And with that, I've got a great podcast coming up. Candace Bushnell, remember Sex and the City? Candace is now 60 years old, got a boyfriend a little bit younger. That was always her thing. And she raises the question in a new book, is there still sex in the city? And she's talking about the 50 years and older. I mean, most of us have not lived her life. You want to share it? Come join me on the podcast. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to Let Me Tell You on the OG Podcast Network. Best-selling novelist Candace Bushnell changed life for millions of Americans when she created Sex and the City. And I remember very well her column for the New York Observer. I was writing a column. Mine was nothing as exciting as that. It was on shopping and goodbyes and good places to eat. But Candace took it a step further, and millions of women in America, men too, would not move until that column came out. And then when it became a TV show, it was the same thing. Candace is still at it, sharing her life and her adventures with her latest, Is There Still Sex in the City? And there's a marvelous picture of her on a settee with her two, I don't know, are they multicolored, party-colored standards?
Yes, they're party-colored standards. Right. Standard poodles.
I have a standard poodle. Yours look incredibly well-behaved. Mine would have eaten the couch by now.
But you know, they can be naughty.
I know. There's something about them, especially if you're not paying attention.
They're like people.
Exactly. So fill me in. You've written so many books, including this brand new one, The Lipstick Jungle, Trading Up, Killing Monica and Four Blondes. Of course, Sex and the City, published in 96, and it changed millions of lives, including yours, right?
Well, I don't know if it really changed my life. I think it really just set my life off on, you know, in the direction that I was hoping it was going to go in. And that was, you know, being a novelist and being able to pay the rent.
Right.
So,
but
you know, that was really always my goal, was to, you know, to write books, write novels, pay the rent, and have an interesting life.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting, Candace, because when you came to New York, a lot of people in that at that time, in that age, did not have that kind of dream. And your dreams were really specific, and it all started happening.
Yes, but it took a really long time.
Well, like, what's long?
You know, I didn't publish Sex in the City. I didn't start writing Sex in the City until I was 34.
Right.
And, of course, now that seems young. But when you're 34,
it's old.
I mean, back then in the 90s, yeah. I think being in your 30s almost felt like being 50 now.
No, it's true.
I'm not kidding.
It's true.
I mean,
and, you know,
really, women really felt if you were in your 30s and you weren't married and didn't have children, it was like, oh, my God, you have majorly messed up your life and there is something so wrong with you.
Right. And boys.
Now it's so common we would laugh.
Right. But
you know,
when I was coming of age,
you're so young.
It was even worse because if you weren't engaged at 20 or 22.
Right.
Oh, you were like the Scarlet Woman. And it was shocking. When I finally got engaged, it was like, oh, I got to do this already. The entire town raised the flag. So you lived it, and now you've tackled
and
the
now
topic.
Now things have changed, and I have to say, I never thought that I would be visiting really similar territory, the same territory that I visited in Sex and the City, at my age, you know, during my 50s, and now that I've turned 60.
Hard to believe.
So is there still sex in the city? It's really about, what I call it, the new middle age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a lot of women being in their 50s, it's, you know, it's a time of renewal and reexamination. So it's interesting. And a lot of women end up single again and find themselves, like, back in the dating pool, which is something that you really don't expect when you're in your 30s. You think, by the time I'm 50,
I'll be settled.
It will all be figured out somehow.
Exactly. But life's lesson is that in this generation, it isn't figured out. They're not all flooding to retirement communities at 50.
No.
And
absolutely not. And also, I mean, the reality is that, I mean, these are still, you know, a lot of people, they're still really vibrant and, you know, they want to work and they don't want to slow down.
Not at all. I mean, as Gail Sheehy used to say, you know, 50 is the new 30.
Right.
Or the new 35. But you always share your adventures because Sex and the City, a huge success. And, you know, it's sort of trite, but I never even heard of half the things, of course, that you talked about then. All those shoes and all those men and Mr. Big and Mr. Little.
Well, Joan, get ready.
I know.
Because
but
in this new book,
I'd read it.
I never imagined things that, for instance, cubbing.
Yeah, tell what that is.
And now this is when younger guys, and they could be in their early 20s, they could be, you know, in their early 30s, but this has happened, and it's happened to me, and it's happened to pretty much every friend I've had who's gotten divorced. It's like a phase. The guys who are immediately after you, for some reason, are young guys, and it's comes as quite a surprise because, you know, when I was, when you were younger, I mean, the idea of a guy being interested in a woman who was older was
unheard of.
Unheard of.
Right, unless he was a fortune hunter.
Happen. And now this is, you know, because of porn and that sort of thing. And I think everybody looks younger. I think women in their middle age look younger, but you know, they are of interest to young men.
But why?
Well,
so many young women out there desperate on every dating app known to man.
It's well, part of it is because young women want things from them.
Like what?
Well, they want maybe commitment. They want guys who have money. They're looking for things that these guys are not interested in providing.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I mean, there are all kinds of reasons. You know, some of them, they find older people interesting. You know, they find older women more interesting.
Yeah, well, I believe if this is it, this sounds pretty good. I'm talking to Candace Bushnell. Is there still sex in the city? And Candace and her friends share their adventures in their quest, and there's still a quest for guys at 50.
Well,
they're not settling down and saying, all right, it's over.
I mean, this, I have to say, this was one of the things that I did find surprising because when I got divorced, honestly, the last thing.
And that
thing
guy
I
was so
do.
Adorable, that wonderful ballet dancer.
Oh, he was. He was adorable. And he was really nice.
But what happened?
Life. You know, he fell in love with somebody else.
Not good.
It happens.
Yeah, it
you
does.
Know? I mean, I hate to say it, but it's life.
I know, but you're sort of irresistible.
Well.
It's okay, you got a new one.
Tone. Remember, you know what, who is it? Oscar Wilde said, beauty isn't so beautiful after it's been in the house for 3 days.
It's probably right.
And he's probably right.
He's probably right, but I'm not going to feel sad for you because you got a new one already.
Well, I really didn't date anybody for about 5 years after I got divorced.
Why? Because you were traumatized? Why didn't you?
I was really finished. I was like, why, if you one puts all this time into a relationship but it doesn't work, like, why go and do it again? So that was really my attitude. And then I got over it. And
you found this guy.
Yes, he's very nice. He's from New York, Joan.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And
he doesn't dance, I trust.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't dance, but he loves to go. You know, he loves to go out. He loves to go to plays. And
right. He sounds like he's perfect for you.
He's great. He's great.
Okay, and you can, if you follow Candace, you know that's MNB, my new boyfriend,
right.
And this guy looks pretty good. Now, of course, all your girlfriends in the book, and this is a reality, women at in their 50s really are working at looking young and staying young, right? I mean, cosmetic plastic surgery is, all those men and women who practice that are jumping for joy because needles are everywhere. Men and women, right?
Yes. I think there's this idea that, middle-aged women are just desperate to hold on to their youth. And I don't find that. I find, in general, women are pretty sensible.
Uh-huh.
And I don't see a lot of women who go off on the deep end with, Botox or fillers. I see women who, they kind of do the best that they can, like with what they have and what they can afford,
mm-hmm.
and don't go crazy. But what is true is that the wealthier you are, the more pressure there is to look young.
Yeah.
And, especially on the women, because that's part of their, it's what they do.
Right. It's what they do. And you go to a big party and a lot of women look like they're sort of in the morgue. They can't move their faces.
Yes. I mean, I don't see that too much. But, the other thing is young people are the biggest consumers of plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So what I've realized is that if they can change their bodies and if they can somehow improve themselves, a lot of people will take advantage of that. It's human nature.
No, without question. But you talk about things, I have to tell you, I'm everywhere. I've never heard of this. The Mona Lisa treatment, vaginal restorative surgery.
Yes.
No.
Now, this is something that, first of all, the population of women over 50, of people over 50, is really, really growing. I mean, it's like the biggest demographic. And I think it really speaks to this idea of, well, are women over 50 or over a certain age really even supposed to have sex? And the Mona Lisa, it's a laser, so it just like restores thickness and elasticity to the skin. The same thing that you would do on your face.
Only it's not your face.
But it's not your face.
Does it work?
It works some of the time. It doesn't work for everybody, but can work really, really well. And one of the things that happened in the story that I heard about, I'm not kidding,
what?
Three or four of these stories where the woman got this treatment and the husband wanted her to get the treatment.
Right.
So she did, and then she realized, hey, I want something else when it comes to sex, and she leaves her husband for a younger guy.
You're kidding.
No.
All that for a little tightening up.
I know. It's like, men, be careful what you wish for.
That's right. You got it, but not for long.
Right.
So Candace, at what point, what made you decide to do this book? Is this something you had been thinking about?
Yes, it actually was, because I did a story about Tinder for Cosmopolitan Magazine. And I really did not want to do the story, because I thought, I don't want to write about relationships or dating or, you know, right, any of that stuff. Like, what is there really anything new? It's like, I'm bored with it. I've been, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. But then this editor, who was 25, was so desperate. She said this app, Tinder, is ruining my friends' lives.
Why?
Because they get stuck on it, and it takes up a lot of time, and they are just going out with really horrible guys.
Well, I heard there's a lot of horrible guys on Tinder, and that all they want is free sex.
Yes, I mean, you hear terrible, terrible stories. Now, on the other hand, people do meet and get married, so it kind
Whatever.
Of depends a bit on what kind of person you are. But she was really so worked up about, like, dating apps, and I thought, well, this is really interesting. Women have always been complaining about men, but not these complaints. So I decided to go on Tinder, and I interviewed these women, and it was really interesting.
Did you meet good guys?
It was sad.
Candace, did you meet good guys on Tinder?
Well, the one guy that I met turned out to be everything that the women had warned me about. He turned out to be very unreliable. Mm-hmm. And he had some crazy story about how he fell asleep and then he took some bad drugs or something.
Who needs him?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're going to find the good and the bad on every site. And Candace, this time, with her bunch of friends, all different, but they all do what they did when they were young. You know, they live near each other, or they live together, or they share trips or adventures. Or, in fact, there was a story in the real estate section recently about sharing houses. You know, that's becoming a big thing. But is it really time for women to start over? Many of them have already gone through marriage, parenthood, taking care of their parents.
One of the things that I discovered in the book was that a lot of women, if you get divorced in your 50s, a lot of women have to start over. And that, you know, their economic situation is very different. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the realities, is that, as I said, people in their 50s have to be like little engines that could. They keep trying and trying and trying to get around the track until
they manage to pick up speed.
But for a lot of women in their 50s, they have to move. They have to start a different career. There's also pressures of parents often pass away during this time. There's menopause, children leaving the nest. So
Sounds sad. Also
time when there's a whole bunch of life stressors.
Right. So you got to find out if there's still sex in the city. And who's a better guide than Candace? I heard you already sold this to the movies or TV.
I did. I sold it to
Good
Paramount. And we'll be developing it. I don't know where it will end up with, you know, all the streaming and this and that. Who knows?
You know what? It's going to be great, because first of all, every woman in America is going to want the role, because there aren't a lot of roles for 50, 60-year-old women. And this is terrific. And a whole new generation they don't really care what people think as much. And they can go out and have a ball, start a new career, get a new guy. Good for you, Candace. Congratulations. Candace Bushnell. Is there still sex in the city? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You have to read the book. All the best. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Joan.